Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We made it to Friday. It is Friday, April 4th, 2014. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a good weekend. We are here live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show and podcast it for you, making it very easy for you to listen to the program anywhere, anytime. And, of course, that's at my website, buckmastershow.com, also live streaming at kvoi.com. And our media partners, always like to thank them, especially on Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun all have links to the Buckmaster Show. Normally on Friday, we get things rolling with our Friday Focus interview. Due to some scheduling issues, we will have our Friday Focus interview this afternoon with State Representative Ethan Orr coming up at 12:30. So that means our Friday Reporters Roundtable gets bumped up to the first half hour of the program. And joining me on the roundtable today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, Sarah, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans, editor of Inside Tucson Business. We are always welcome for your calls and comments, 790-2040, 790-2040, and we invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 3,200 friends, and it's easy to find. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. Sarah, how are you?
I am well, Bill. Thank you.
Noticed in the sports section today that your St. Louis Blues of the National Hockey League had a record number of wins, and the season's not over yet.
It is not. People in St. Louis, including my parents, are very excited.
They've got to be very happy. The Blues looking real good. Mark, how's it going?
I'm doing well. They still play hockey?
Yeah.
Mark Evans.
Yeah.
So I thought that ended some years ago.
Yeah.
No, it's like 13 months out of the year.
In Canada, it's 14 months.
Yes.
The budget situation, there was an impasse, but I see today from Howard Fisher, Capital Media Services, his piece in the Star that, Sarah, it looks like at least the governor and House Speaker Andy Tobin got together. Now whether they can bring Senate President Andy Biggs on board, who knows?
Right, and it's always one of these things that's kind of a fluid situation with these budget talks. That the governor put out her budget, then the Senate passed theirs, and then it went to the House, and there was some back and forth, and some Republicans were holding out for better funding for child welfare and early childhood education, I think, and childcare, among other priorities, and that didn't come to pass. So
universities took a big hit in one of the budgets, right?
Yes, they did. Yes,
in the
they
Senate
did.
Budget.
The Senate budget, $5.5 million would be restored, I guess, under this plan Tobin had talked about.
Yeah, it looks like we're coming into kind of the final stretch. And of course, lawmakers want to get the heck out and go campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that pressure, but it's never a boring moment in the Arizona legislature.
Yeah, the interesting comment from the Senate President, Andy Biggs, is that he may allow this to come to a vote in his chamber, even though he will probably vote against it. As the Senate President, he wields a lot of power, and he could prevent this from coming to a vote if he wanted to, but he may see the inevitability of it, and instead I'll just bring it to a vote and vote against it. But I think that they've got the votes. There's a few breakaway senators who initially voted for the Senate's budget before the members of the House gave them some cover. It's some of the same senators and House members who broke ranks with the Republican caucus last year for Medicaid are breaking ranks and willing to work with Democrats to force some of these changes. So that worked in the House a little bit, like Representative Ethan Orr, who's going to be on the show later. He was one of the rebellious ones.
So he's one of the gang of six.
Correct. Yeah. So the senators who initially voted for The original Senate budget, because they were concerned about some of the continuing blowback over Medicaid, have now given them a little bit more cover and a little bit more protection. They're feeling safer about voting for the budget, even though the Senate president is against it. It's not like they can get primaried again. They're already getting primaried for their Medicaid vote.
And this thing about charter schools were pretty much the district public mm-hmm. schools that run charter schools. I guess they get $33 million from the state as part of the budget.
Well, the budget deal, that's what the House wanted, and that's what they got. That is the money that districts that create charter schools.
Like Vail.
Correct. They get a little bit extra money for their per-student contribution that whereas just a regular district student only gets a certain amount. I forget what the dollar amounts are. Sarah might know. She covers this closer than I do.
Hmm.
The other thing I think to note is that the agreement between the House and Brewer gives less money than Brewer wanted or initially for the revamping what was known as Child Protective Services into a new agency, but that the provision is that they've come to an agreement that they will revisit it later in the month.
And so that's the new Division of Child Safety and Family Services.
Right, and that's kind of taking child welfare out of the giant Department of Economic Security and making it its own thing focused on youth, families, child welfare.
One of the big stories of the week, the Supreme Court on Wednesday did away with more of the rules that limit campaign contributions that were imposed by Congress in the 1970s in response to the Watergate corruption scandal. In other words, the big money that flows into American politics is about to get even bigger. Our friend Terry Bracey, who is our contributor on this program, our Washington, D.C. contributor. Terry runs a very successful lobbying firm, as you know, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
In Washington, D.C. He represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. He has an interesting op-ed in today's Arizona Daily Star on the editorial page, in effect saying there is now so much money in the system that large interests have frozen Congress in place, making it unable to act, so congressional power slips away now to the executive branch.
That is something I think that that is a very interesting take. I think it's something that Terry is in a much better position to have that insight than I certainly am here in Tucson, because that is his world and his expertise. I do think that the ruling in the McCutcheon case is really damaging for people who aren't incredibly wealthy, who don't have access to the bazillions of dollars to sprinkle around the system. But it's just more of the solidification, I think, of money and the politics. And it has an incredible potential to just encourage people, as if they needed more encouragement, to just sort of tune out and give up and ignore it all.
You know, James Madison, when he was writing the Constitution, railed against the special interests. Our political process has been about special interests. People who have an interest in their government and they want to influence their elected representatives and try to get a change in policy that perhaps benefits them or benefits the nation or whatever. The fact is that in these days it takes money to have influence, and the limitations that the federal government were placing on contributions was limiting people's ability to influence their government. And so what the Supreme Court done has relieved those limitations and allow people who, you know, under these aggregate caps is what really is happening here. There's still the cap on the amount of contribution that you can make, but what's they've released now is the aggregate cap. So that what they were saying before is, well, you could give, you know, 9 people a donation, but that 10th one, boy, that 10th one, that's out of line. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's changed. Now you can give as much money to as many people as you want, but there are still caps on the amount that you can give them. I don't think that will have any different effect of money on government than that we already seen.
So you don't see a further chilling effect.
The biggest problem for me with our political processes is our broken district system. Mm-hmm. We have the redistricting systems that we have in our states, and the gerrymandering that is going on has created safe districts to the point that nearly 80% of all the people in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, don't have to pay attention to anyone else mm-hmm. other than their party mm-hmm. because it's their party that gets them elected. Until we change that, we're not going to fix the political process in the country. Lobbying is always going to happen. There's always going to be money spent to try and lobby the government. I think the best thing we can do is have very strong disclosure laws so that the voter knows at the end of the day who's getting their money, right? Which candidate is getting the money from who and for why. And right now we have very weak disclosure laws, and so that means that voters are voting in ignorance. And then we need to have redistricting reform.
I think one thing to pay attention to also is the idea of money as speech, which gives in the system when we have money as speech and then this new ruling that takes away the cumulative limit on donations. But we have free speech zones. We have governments, large and small, like outside the political conventions, you can gather here and express your thoughts here. It's a different way of expressing your thoughts and your free speech rights. And I just think it's interesting that for the super wealthy, they have more free speech rights than someone who goes out onto the street yeah. and is exercising by actually saying something.
So money talks.
Yes, it does.
Big time. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here. Then we'll get an update on the guessing game that continues about Tesla. Mark Evans has been really all over this story, to his credit. And he'll give us an update on what kind of his feeling about where we are on the Tesla situation. And Sarah Garrett Gasson, she's not going anywhere. She'll be with us as we return.
I hope not.
Back right after this.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques, in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable, starting at the beginning of the show, and normally we do the Friday Focus, but we'll do the Friday Focus with Ethan Orr coming up. But anyway, before we go to Tesla, Cindy has been waiting on the Buckmaster Show live line, and she wants to talk about what we've been talking about, wealthy people maybe having a little more free speech in this country. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, thank you, and I have to clarify, I just got in my car and turned on the radio and heard about 10 seconds of the show before you went to commercial. But what I did hear was someone, I think it's a guest, saying that the wealthy have more free speech rights in our country than other people do. Do I have that correct?
That's not exactly what I was saying. But my name is Sarah, I guess, and I work at The Start. It's nice to speak with you. But no, please go ahead.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, well, I am pretty sure that what I thought I heard anyway, and so what probably other people thought they heard, was that you said the wealthy have more free speech rights than the rest of us. And I just want to strive for clarity and say that the wealthy or anyone else doesn't have more free speech rights than anyone else. Rights are equal, and resources and capability is not the same thing as rights. And so if wealthy people have more ability to get a message out, that doesn't mean that they have an unequal right to getting that message out. So I just wanted to throw that out there and ask that we speak clearly and use the word right very carefully, because there's a lot of confusion over that issue, and people think that they are having their rights taken away from them or their rights trampled on.
Okay.
When people speak that way.
Okay, thank you, Cindy, for calling. Here's Sarah. Perhaps you could clarify what you were saying.
Well, I think on paper, yes, we all have the same rights.
Equal rights on paper.
We absolutely do. Cindy, you're right about that. But I think it's the ability to exercise what we are all afforded equally, and to put that into practice does vary. And and we all have the same rights, but we don't all have the same influence.
Okay.
And so it's the ability to exercise those rights to convey influence that I was speaking about.
And that is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Mark Evans is here of Inside Tucson Business. And, you know, we forget sometimes with radio that people are kind of there. It's the noon hour. They're
right.
coming and going.
Right.
And so I probably should reintroduce both of you every 2 minutes or so people know who actually is speaking. But here is Mark Evans. And Mark, you wrote, you've been keeping a real close tab on the Tesla situation. How does Tucson, are we on the short list for Tesla?
Well, I think so, because they went through and looked where all the places, Tesla went through and looked at all the places that they wanted to consider building their giant gigafactory, which, if you're unfamiliar, they're planning to spend between $4 and $5 billion and hire 6,500 people to buy the world's largest lithium ion battery to supply their electric cars. And so they're looking at sites around the Southwest. So they came up with four states, and they asked four states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada, to submit bids. And so the Arizona Commerce Authority put that note out last fall, and cities around Arizona put in their bids, where they thought it would locate, the things that they could do for them, and the like. And then that was all sent up to Tesla. Subsequent to that, Tesla has begun reviewing all of those. And so at the beginning, Tucson had as good a shot as any. So what we're looking at is what's their winnowing process? Well, Tesla's being very secretive about it, naturally. But they were spotted in San Antonio last week, taking a visit there. And Governor Rick Perry in Texas has been very aggressive about courting Tesla. He's leading the Texas effort, talks about it almost daily. They were also spotted in Reno, Nevada. The Tesla officials were taking a tour up there. And the Phoenix Business Journal, speaking to anonymous sources within business leaders and political leaders in Phoenix, and were being told that what they're hearing is that Reno, Nevada has the or an area close to Reno, Nevada has the early lead in terms of where they want to locate.
As but for Arizona sites, the leading
so far
areas.
We haven't heard anything about Tesla coming to Arizona, taking a visit. I hope that they do. If they don't come here to visit and they only visit Reno and San Antonio, well, that's not a good sign, obviously. But what was interesting is that some of the handicapping in the sites is that Tesla does not want to be within an urban area per se. They're looking more towards exurbs area where there's lots of space for their plant that has all the other things that they're looking for, which is rail and highway. And so some of the areas that have been speculated as an area in Pinal County, which would be very beneficial to Tucson, including mm-hmm. one of those sites that Pinal County and economic development officials said just the other day to the Casa Grande Dispatch that their sites included near the Interstate 8, Interstate 10 interchange. Mm-hmm. There's also a freeway there, one closer to Casa Grande, and then another one in Red Rock, which is just north of Marana.
Red Rock would be very good for the Tucson.
You know, essentially, Red Rock is Tucson. I mean, I don't think anybody, even if it's in Pinal County, because mm-hmm. it's on this side of the Picacho Peak, people were going to see it as Tucson and not as Eloy or Casa Grande. So if that were to happen, that would be, you know, this is winning the lottery. I mean, this would be as big as Hughes Missile Systems coming to Tucson in the 1950s.
1952, that's right. But just quickly, and I know, Rose, we're out of time, but Tesla is not, they have said, they've made commitments to other places before. Albuquerque, they made a commitment to, and they made a commitment to Downey, California, and they didn't live up to the commitment.
And backed out, right? Yeah. So even if they say that, you know, we're looking at Reno, Nevada as the number one spot, that might not pan out.
All right, Mark Evans, thank you very much. You're going to have to run, but we appreciate your participation in our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson, she's not going anywhere, thank goodness.
She's still here.
She is still here. And Ethan Orr is up to the plate, state representative. We will find out what's going on with the budget. That's as we continue with the Buckmaster Show.
Hi. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's really amazing the progress we're seeing in downtown Tucson, thanks to popular hotspots like Historic Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. Now, here's someone who really knows all about great events.
Hi, this is David Slutz, Entertainment Director for Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We host over 350 events a year in downtown Tucson, from signature events like the Tucson Beer Championship and Agave Fest, to rock, jazz, comedy performances, weddings, company holiday parties, art openings, lectures, heck, you name it, we do it. And when we need help, we turn exclusively to the Arizona Party Team. No one comes close to their professionalism and resources. We've asked a lot of crazy things from them, often at very short notice, and they always say, we can do that. And you know what? They do it. Oh, I'll trip them up one day, but I haven't yet. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Yeah, we're kind of untrippable at Arizona Party Rental. Come on by and visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday focus interview today is with State Representative Ethan Orr. Mr. Orr, a Republican representing District 9, joining me here in studio in Tucson to question Ethan Orr is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Ethan is on our Buckmaster Show live line. Are you still up at the Capitol, Ethan?
No, I actually just came back down to Tucson. I was meeting with some business leaders. I'm trying to build a coalition to try and help us lobby, particularly for the U of A and the JTED, Career Technical Education, and give us a little bit more of a boost in the budget negotiation.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you carving out some time for us, because as we were talking when Mark Evans was here from Inside Tucson Business and Sarah and myself, we were trying to figure out what's going on with the budget. Well, you have kind of certainly a lot more inside knowledge on that than us. So what's the bottom line, Ethan Orr?
In terms of the budget, basically where we're at now, both the House and the Senate named conference committees. Well, what had happened, to give you a little bit more detail, the Senate passed a budget 2 weeks ago. We took that up in the House last week. I was the only Republican that voted no, and we can talk about some of those reasons. We sent it back to the Senate. The Senate made some changes that the House leadership did not agree with, and so it's actually, this is the first time in 8 years it's gone to a conference committee. Yesterday, both the House and the Senate named two Republicans and one Democrat each to negotiate. But what's really happening is both sides are starting to work with their caucuses, and they're going to rebuild a budget that I think the House, the same chamber, that both chambers and the governor will support. The governor's office is starting to weigh in on this budget.
And you were, as you say, the only Republican voting no. And could you articulate those reasons why?
Absolutely. And I will say, I am very grateful for my caucus. They gave me some of what I wanted. They gave me some JTED and U of A funding. But first of all, I cannot in good conscience support a budget that funds ASU 10 times what it funds the U of A. It also cut out all child care subsidies, which were a Republican initiative from the 1990s with the Welfare to Work. This is one of the best ways to get people working and jobs. There was no additional debt reduction. We didn't pay off any of the debt. And it did take care of the JTED in terms of 100%, and that was something I've been pushing for all year, and I'm very supportive of that. I'd also like to see ninth grade funding, but that's going to come back next year.
That's the Joint Technical Education District, for those that don't know the acronym JTED. Here's Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star.
Ethan, you
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Ethan. You and I went to college together at the U of A.
Yes.
So, and of course, the question is unrelated to our college days, but why the discrepancy between ASU and U of A funding? What is the reason for that, or what were the reasons that were given?
Well, basically, about 3 or 4 years ago, a U of A president sat down with President Crow, and they negotiated something called parity, which has been going through. The U of A was getting more money per student, and they said, well, we're going to equalize that. And so for the past 3-4 years, ASU has gotten almost 100% of the increase. In fact, last year I got the U of A, their first main campus increase since 2008. And what I think has happened is it has gone too far. We haven't looked at degree mix. We haven't really, and it's just funding mediocrity. You're not having any sort of intelligent discussion revolving around the funding. And so that's really what's driving it, is the agreement that a U of A president made 4 years ago with President Crow. If I return, and if I am, which I hope, and if I'm named to be head of chairman of the Higher Education Committee, which is a good chance, I actually would like to open up that conversation and have a more intelligent conversation about, well, maybe we want more PhDs in optics than we do my major, history. Maybe that is more valuable to our economy, and maybe we should fund them differently.
What about what's the status on the veterinary school, and what was the opposition to that?
And that is something I've been working with Dean Burgess on for the past year. I had a lot of support for that. There is a veterinarian school in Phoenix that has been kind of Case Midwestern, that's been undermining our efforts, and their alumni have been being actually bad-mouthing our school and our attempts. What they don't understand, they're mainly a doggy kitty, which is a very important vet school. We designed our veterinarian school to support rural agriculture, the large animal, and then also the FDA, everything in a meat packing plant. You need a veterinarian on site, so that's actually, you'd see a reduction in the cost of food. Part of it is the old ASU-U of A rivalry. I was a little caught off guard by how intense that was last week, and part of it is just the unknown. I will continue to support that. They actually allocated $2.5 million for the U of A and said this can be for your vet school. My pushback is, if you're going to fund a new program, fund it right so that it will be accredited and successful, or don't fund it at all. Don't give yourself a big leap.
Is that workable, that $2.5 million, now that this you're taking a hard look at the budget, both the House and the Senate? Could you up that, could you double that to what you believe the $5 million that you need to really get this large animal veterinary school off the ground?
Well, the latest budget negotiation, it does have 2.5 for the U of A, and I am working very hard to try and double that. They added 2.5 for ASU as well, in addition to the parity money. I would be very uncomfortable supporting a budget that doesn't include at least that $5 million or a little bit more for the U of A. I also got an additional million for the cooperative extension, which, again, the thing is, this is not just an expense. This is investment in our economy, because if you look at the economic impact of the U of A, it's $8.9 billion, because every researcher brings four times that amount in through federal grants. And every time we come up with a new strain of wheat or cotton or a better way to take care of animals, everyone in this state benefits.
And speaking of investments, I think the focus on child care subsidies and child welfare has been disappointing, in that it's not up to the level still that the governor was asking for, and that what people are saying on the ground say that is really needed. So what's the situation there, and what were some of the reasons given for why the shortchanging on those two issues?
Well, one thing that I will say, working in the social service industries, and I've actually for the past several months been working with actually the ASU, the School of Social Work, to find a way that we can reform the entire DES system, because I think we fundamentally do this wrong. If someone is in our safety net, we need to help them, but we need to very quickly help them get out of that safety net. And what happens is we have these very siloed programs. You know, I'm in charge of food stamps, I get you food stamps. I'm in charge of housing, I get you housing. And so I'm trying to change the whole dialogue where that's not the goal. The goal is you have a person that is at point A, that is a state of dependency, and they're needing help in our safety net, and our goal is to get them to point B, where they are contributing to our economy and where they're a tax-paying citizen. And you may need, and so I'm actually working to reform and get some CMS waivers and do a pilot project where we're actually focusing on that, because you may not need food stamps to get a job. You may need job training. So that's the goal. And now, the child care subsidy, in my mind, is a critical piece of that, because if I'm working with someone who is a single mother or a less affluent family and they want to move into our middle class, but they have two or three kids, it's very difficult to apply for a job and keep a job. And so these vouchers actually save money by taking people off the welfare system. We don't have to make their food stamp and their TANF and their other payments if we can help them get a job.
So what's the argument against that, though? What have you been hearing against that?
I think an unthinking argument coming out of the Goldwater that says we don't want to spend money and we're not going to give people stuff. And my pushback is, well, you do. You give them food stamps. Wouldn't you rather give them child care subsidy and help them? Because people want jobs. Help them contribute to their own family. So I think it's just a very unthinking pushback of, we don't want to give people stuff.
12:42 right now on the Buckmaster Show. You're listening to State Representative Ethan Orr, Republican from the Legislative District Number 9, here in the studio in Tucson. With me is Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And I am Bill Buckmaster, and we're speaking, as I say, with Ethan. Ethan, give me a feeling. Are you hearing about Tesla? I understood that. Were some Tesla officials in Phoenix trying to get this law changed that would allow Tesla actually to be sold, the cars, directly in Arizona? Because right now the law basically protects auto dealerships. That has been on the books for many years.
You know, one of the things, I don't believe that law is going to get out of the Senate, but what I have actually done, as you know, our state was selected as one of the finalists for a more $100 million, actually, I think a $4 billion manufacturing plant, and there are four sites in Arizona that are being considered. One of them is Tucson. What I've been doing, I've been working with our local officials, but particularly with the Arizona Commerce Authority behind the scenes to do everything I can to support Tucson. In fact, I was on a trade mission with the Speaker and the ACA to Mexico, where we did some stuff to help the U of A, and I'm bringing a biosciences company up to look at Tucson. But I sat down with Sandra Watson, or with the ACA, and I said, look, everyone has to be treated fairly. And I got assurances, and I know that the deal that the state is doing to support Mesa and the other sites, they are doing to Tucson, and I worked very hard to keep us on that short list. What we need to do as a community, in my opinion, is have a very serious conversation about the incentive mix that we want to offer to a company that's willing, and really the benefits and the trade-offs that it will give us in terms of jobs and in terms of boosting the economy. And I think, frankly, there's a number of things that our city can and should put on the table.
Could you give us a few examples?
Well, I think one thing, when I used to do economic development years ago, we worked very closely with our Industrial Development Authority, and we were able to do some land assemblage things with tax-exempt bonds. I think we need to look at that. I think we need to look at waiving some of the fees. The other thing that is very important, and this is a longer-range thing, but our new Pima College Chancellor, Lambert Lee, is excellent on this. We need to really have a serious conversation about our workforce, particularly our manufacturing. That's why I support the JTET. That's why I got some additional funding for Pima Community College in this year's budget. But that's the type of thing. Tesla's not only looking for a place where doing business is cost-effective, they're looking for a workforce that can meet their needs.
But from what you understand, Ethan Orr, Tucson is still on the short list.
We are still on the short list, and I will tell you, we have a good team. Mayor Rothschild, Chuck Huckleberry, Trio. We do have a very good team on this, but I think we've got to put more on the table, and I think we need to have a very serious conversation. Even if we don't get Tesla, I think it's time that we had a very good economic development policy about what do we want in terms of companies, and what are we willing to do to get them.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star.
Along those lines, we've talked a lot about over the recent weeks, and actually it's kind of a long-running conversation, but about the divided economic development approach that our metro region seems to have. Can you talk about what that means in a real-life situation in terms of Tesla or another company, you know, kind of sniffing around Tucson, and how that plays out in real life?
Well, most economic development comes down to personal relationships. So regardless of what the organization is or the organizational structure or structures, it comes down to can people work cooperatively. I know, and it no longer exists, it was all merged into TRIO. I worked for the Office of Economic Development, and we really ran the programs and the incentives. And at the time it was GTEC, they did a lot of the recruitment. And even though there were two separate organizations, we worked hand in glove. We worked very, very effectively together. And I would go and I would recruit businesses, even though I wasn't a recruiter, because I understood the program so well. And I educated the recruiters about what we did. So I don't think we need an organizational. I think we need to do is continue to work on those personal relationships and say, look, it doesn't matter whose name is on the plaque. At the end of the day, if we are bringing jobs to our constituents and to our city, then we've done a good thing. And if someone else wants to take credit for that, great. And I think we've got to move beyond, you know, who's in charge and who gets the credit to, all right, behind the scenes, how do we do this together?
Ethan Orr is with us on The Buckmaster Show. From a personal point of view, have the pieces, and I know when you were with Sarah and I on the program here in studio a month or so ago, you had a whole slew of pieces of legislation. Give us the overview of the portfolio. Were you successful?
My bills are doing very, very well. I had 7 bills, I think all very good bills, leave the House. I worked extremely closely with both sides of the aisle. In fact, I took on very, very controversial issues on some of them, and all of my bills passed 58-2. My worst was 52-5. So very good. We worked very hard on that. A committee chairman killed 2 of my bills, but I have 5 bills that are left that are ready to go to the Senate floor. If the president brings them forward, I have the votes, and I have confidence that the governor will sign them. One of them, for example, is right here in Tucson. It's for Paragon, and people laugh when I say spaceflight, but there's a company with 70 jobs here in Tucson that if my bill doesn't pass, they may end up having to go to New Mexico. But if it does, they could be launching commercial spaceflight in the next year.
Would you go into space?
Are you signing up for the trip?
I wish I could. I can't quite afford it, but I actually believe in it's called the democratization of technology. It's very expensive now. Their flight was going to be $70,000, which I clearly can't afford. But, you know, someday someone's going to find a way to do it cheaper and cheaper. So I honestly believe my kids are going to have the opportunity to go to space for the what it would cost us to go to Europe first class right now.
Okay, Ethan, thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate your time. Bill, Sarah, thank you so much.
State Representative Ethan Orr with us on our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's been fun. I was just going to say you will still be here, but no, you are ready to. Elvis is leaving the house.
Yes. I need to grow my sideburns.
There we go. Dan Gibson is up next from the Tucson Weekly. Dan's going to pinch hit for Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch right after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the Weather, Ocean, Energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting Ocean and Rainforest Gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
We'll be right back.
Oh, it's time for the weekend. Whenever we hear that music on the Buckmaster Show, the weekend has officially begun. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson, to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of galleries. In fact, it's been named one of the top 100 arts communities in America. Great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find out about the great places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. And filling in today, and we're very happy he is doing so, for Matt Russell is Dan Gibson. Dan is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and the Tucson Weekly always has, of course, plenty of ideas for what to do for the weekend. Dan, how are you today?
I'm all right. Yeah, a little under the weather, but I'm hanging in there. I provide the straight enthusiasm that Matt usually does. I'm working on it. I'm going to give it as best as I can.
Well, what's going on? If you wanted to do something this weekend, could you give us a few suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of Tucson's, Southern Arizona's festival weekend in a lot of ways. There's just a lot of festivals and events. There's a million things to do, but a lot of those are downtown around Cyclovia, the bicycle-themed event. There's going to be a number of streets shut down on Sunday. You can ride around car-free downtown, which is a fun thing in itself. But also in that same area, there's tied to it a little bit, is the first ever South Tucson Street Fair, or Feria de Sur Tucson. My Spanish is terrible, which has... I'm working on it. They've got a car show. They've got a Lucha Libre wrestling. They've got great food. This is all up and down 4th Avenue from 12 to 7:30 on Sunday. So it's in the restaurant area, 29th to 36th, I think. There's just going to be a lot of stuff going on there. Also in the same area, the first Tucson Hullabaloo, it's a concert event that's been going on in Flagstaff for years, bringing it down to Tucson. It's dirt cheap for the amount of entertainment you're going to get. It's $5 for each day. It's happening Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. Really great list of bands, local food, local beer. There's going to be arts stuff. There's a kids area. And the first 500 people each day, if I'm correct, get in with a couple cans of food. So if you're on a budget and you've got some green beans in the pantry, you can head down to that for free. The Tucson Poetry Festival, keeping on the festival theme, at Hotel Congress. That started yesterday, but there's also events tonight and Saturday with a lot of local poets, some national people brought in. There's poetry workshops. There's like poetry improv. There's poetry-themed music. There's tons of stuff going on with that. Sunday, another thing, if you didn't have enough to do on Sunday, the Viva La Local Food Festival. You have to take a little bit of a trek for that. Fine, well, not really, but at Rito Downs Park. This is the first one of these. Manish Shah, who directs a lot of the farmers markets in town, bringing all this farmers market people in. There's going to be also local food. Restaurants are $5 samples, and beer and wine, and then great music, actually, all day, including Sergio Mendoza, Y La Orquesta, and Carlos Arzate. That's free to get in, $5 to park. And if you buy any vegetables or, you know, produce at the time, you can have them put it, they have a veggie valet. So you can keep it refrigerated while you're enjoying the show.
And then
there's a million things.
The vegetables, the veggies will be nice and cool and crisp for you as you make the journey home then.
Yeah, you need not worry about the quality of your vegetables. They will take care of it for you.
Where is that?
If you can't find something to do, I don't know what's. I can't help you at this point. Not you, Bill. I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah,
they gotta go.
That is at the Rito.
Yeah, Rito Downs. Yes, over there on First.
Okay, so we've got a couple of, well, not a couple, but we've got certainly a handful of activities and very intriguing ones, some new activities, and that South Tucson event sounds like that could be a lot of fun.
It does sound like it. I mean, there's going to be great food. You know, I mean, just that area is known for great food anyway. And there's vendors. There's a ton of kids stuff. There's some sort of, like, bubble dance party for kids. I mean, that's like, my daughter's probably into that already. If I just told her, she'd be. You'd be waiting down there for it. The highlight of my weekend, possibly, and this may just be me, is the Amy Grant concert with Tucson Symphony Orchestra Saturday night at the Music Hall.
Yeah.
Amy Grant, obviously, to me, like the most important singer in Christian music history, American pop Christian music. She's going to be performing a lot of her hits and some, you know, hymn-type things. So you get the whole gamut of her career, and you get the lovely sounds of Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Dan,
that's a little more pricey, $30 to $70.
Dan Gibson, thank you very much. I hope you feel a little better, but thanks for pinch hitting today.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thanks a lot. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and thanking Culligan Water. Bottled water on the Culligan is presented by Culligan Water. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Culligan, we thank you very much. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water when they visit us in studio here at KVOI on The Buckmaster Show. Expert Talk begins tomorrow with Phil Cedar, of course, at 7 a.m. with his gardening show. Continues right on through the weekend, then up to Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 Monday morning with Chris and Joe. On behalf of Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We do hope you have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.